display of the interior of their stomach, then elderly women will be a credit to their country and they'll win the gold medal. Okay? Now, not given to much wine here is wine, and it's oinos. Malan oinos, which is much wine. Then notice the next thing about them. Teachers of good things. But there's an additional word here in the original that you don't have in the King James. Not given to much wine, having been enslaved. You don't have that in English, but it's in the original language. So they're being enslaved by the much wine, which means they're taken into custody by it. And then we have teachers of good things. One word, teachers of good things. You have three or four words, but there's only one word here. It's a big one. K-A-L-O-D. I-D-A-S-K-A-L-O-S. Kalos didaskalos. This is divine good, and this is teachers. The older women have a wonderful ministry. Stay off the bottle, quit slandering people, and you have a ministry here. Teaching the word to others. Now I want you to notice that it's primarily the older women who are commanded to teach. And there is relatively little place for younger women. In fact, the Bible says that older women, widows, should teach the younger women something they don't know. How to love their husband. Now there's a reason for that. After a woman reaches a certain age, they're not quite as strong on the living it up racket. And therefore they become more serious minded, and maybe even more stable, and therefore in a better position to effectively teach the Word of God. The younger women in Scripture are commanded to do a lot of things, but teaching is primarily the function of the older women. Teaching children and teaching other women. So here it says, teachers of that which is good, kalos. And of course this refers to the word. So one of the great virtues for a woman of old age is teaching of the word. And one of the most rewarding things, one of the most greatest blessings of old age is teaching the word. Now in verses 4 through 6, Titus is to pass on information. There are older believers, older in age, in Crete, older women and men. And so Titus is to pass on certain information. There are also some young people in verses 4 through 6. Well, what about the young people? Well, we'll start with the young women in verses 4 and 5. See, there's every category here. Older men, older women, young women, young men, pastors and people who work for other people. Now in verse 4 you have the word that, which introduces the purpose clause. Here is the purpose now for younger women. I say younger because the terms are not absolute in definition. And we'll find out. It's N-E-O-S, feminine gender. That they may teach young women to be sober. Now the word to be sober, cross it out, it's not there. That's why I said that the sobriety comes with the older men and older women. It's not here in the younger women. Older women are teaching the younger women. That's why we get into the younger women now. That they may teach. Present active subjunctive. Please remember the subjunctive too. Present tense, that the older women keep on teaching. Active voice, the older women do it. Subjunctive mood means potentiality, which means some will get it and some won't. The word to teach is usually means to train the mind. And this is what it looks like. S-O-P-H-R-O-N-I-Z-O. This is mind, and this is training. That they may train. Now, this means to restore to a right mind. It means to recall a person to his or her senses, and therefore it comes to mean to become oriented. It is up to the older women to orient the younger women. And it means also to train by exhortation and guidance. It's the same word that is used to train up a child in the way he shall go, and when the child matures, it won't vary from the training. Same word that's used for children is used for an older woman training a younger woman. So this is on-the-job training program. In other words, walk around and train them as you go. Teach the women. To be, present active infinitive, which expresses purpose. They are training them to do what? Now get this one. This is a shocker of all verses in the Bible. To love their husbands and love their children. Why in the world would you have to teach a woman to love her husband and love her children? Wouldn't that come naturally? The answer is no, it doesn't. You know, there's an interesting passage we studied, a few years ago. It's in Isaiah, and the Lord says, even though your mothers may forsake you, I never will. Christ said. So here we have lovers of husbands and lovers of children, which older women are supposed to teach younger women. I want to share something very interesting. The word is philos. Now, theos, means lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3:4. That's a total soul rapport with God. Philos, exenos, is lovers of strangers, Titus 1:8. Philos, argos, is lovers of money. The word argos is silver, 2 Timothy 3:2. Now this one is good. Philos, altos, and altos means self, lovers of self. 2 Timothy 3:2. And then there's another one. Philos, danos, and that's lovers of pleasure, 2 Timothy 3:4. Now, the word for lovers of husbands are philos andros. I broke down the whole category for philos for you now. And the lovers of children are philos technos. Children, husbands, pleasure, self, money, strangers, God. Now you see what I'm saying? You don't have a language like that. That's why this language is so important. Now I always thought that this passage was most interesting because you see, in Ephesians 5, the woman is not commanded to love her husband. Why? Because the woman is a responder. The husband is commanded to love the woman, but not vice versa. Because the woman is basically a responder, which means, in a last analysis, get this one down so you'll be able to remember it. If the woman is not told to respond to her husband, not told to love her husband, is a responder, and the man is commanded to love her husband, then the answer to this problem is that means, in the last analysis, 51% of all the domestic problems are on the side of the male. Now, how come you don't say that I hate males when I say that? But it's always that I hate women. I'm saying to you clearly this evening that 51% of the problems in the home is the man's fault. Hello? But you'll forget that one. Problems are on the side of the male because he is the initiator, or he should be. And she is supposedly the responder. But you'll notice that the only place where love is commanded, and it isn't really commanded, it is told that the older women, to teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Now that's interesting. Just like you teach someone to shoot a gun.
Oh no, you don't have a gun, do you? Yeah, we all do, I think.
Or you teach someone how to dance.
Oh, you don't dance, do you? Oh yeah.
Or to do anything. So, love must be taught by younger women. You know, I know all about love. You know, I'm stunned. Mm-hmm. And here it says that the older women have to teach the younger women how to love. Now, ladies, there's something else besides salvation and spiritual children that the younger women have to learn. And so they have to be taught how to love. And this, to me, is an amazing phrase. And I understand why God, the Holy Spirit, has it in here for us. Teach the young women to love their husbands. And that's not all. This, to me, is even more fascinating. You have to teach young women to love their children. They have to be taught. See, verse 3, teachers of that which is good. Verse 4, teach young women to love their husbands and their children. That's divine institution number 2 and number 3, marriage and family. Now, I thought it came naturally until I became a pastor. And it ain't necessarily so. And we know of many mothers who have children, and they say they drive them crazy. And they're always on their nerves, etc. Now, it looks to me like there's a tremendous job for older women who know the Lord. And I want you to notice what they're teaching. The word, yes. But notice where the application is of the word to divine institution number 2, marriage, and divine institution number 3, family. You see, this is very sketchy here. We don't have all the details. But what we do have here is emphasized. Teach the younger women, first of all, to love their husbands and to love their children. And so the word says you have to train a woman how to do this. And there are 2 ways in which a woman can love a man. If you're interested. If you're not, just tune out and put something in your ears. Or say, I'm wacky. She can respond to his love. Or she has to be taught how to do it. So then you have to teach women, in many cases, how to love their children. That's what we have, and that's why we have the problem with the daycare centers. What does the daycare center tell you from this passage? That women don't know how to love their children. That's all. Now, your mother may forsake you, the scripture says, the Lord said, but I'll never forsake you. Now listen, we're talking about Christian women here. Love for children is one of the most natural loves of life. And yet women have to be trained to love their own children.
Subject in verse 2 is aged men. Verse 3, we have aged women. Verse 4 and 5, young women. Verse 6, young men. Verse 7 and 8, pastors. Verse 9 and 10, workers. That's listed out for us so we can get it. Titus chapter 2. Verse 2, aged men. And verse 3, aged women. Verse 4 and 5, young women. Verse 6, young men. Verse 7 and 8, pastors. Verse 9 and 10, business. People working in business. And what's very interesting in verses 11 and following the chapter out through verse 15, we have stage one, stage two, stage three of the plan of God. What's interesting about this chapter is that every one of these categories in a plan of God. And it's delineating all the different categories that are in the body of Christ on the Isle of Crete. But each one are in this particular package of salvation. Now in verse 2, where we started last night, we're talking about aged men. At the aged men, be sober. Grave meant respectable. Temperate is self-controlled, because you already have the word sober for non-intoxicating beverages. Now, the one that we're studying now is sound in faith, charity, and patience. Sound in faith, the word sound is that word healthy again. And the word looks like that word we have for hygiene, H-U-G-I-A-N-O. And so the word sound is better translated to healthy. It's a present tense, which is continuous, active voice, participle. Present tense means this is what it should be continually. Older men should be healthy in faith. Active voice means that that older person has to do it themselves. A participle sets up a precedent. So it says, keep on being healthy in the realm of faith. Now, this is very interesting, and I'll tell you why. Because the implications here is that older people actually are not in the best of health. You know, as you get older, why, eventually your health gets a little worse. Because various parts of the anatomy begin to wear out, either because of the constant use or the abuse over a period of years, or both. Means that they're not as healthy physically as they once were. However, you have a point here. Even though they're not healthy physically, they can have perfect spiritual health. In other words, just because you're getting older, and just because you're declining in your physical condition, it's immaterial, because of the fact, as long as your soul is still in your body, regardless of what your body is like, you can still have perfect spiritual health. And so the implication is, you have good spiritual health. And that would be healthy in the area of faith. And that's faith to a believer, resting in the Word, faith claiming the promises of God. And this will more than make up for the lack of physical health in advancing years. As a matter of fact, this has even a greater implication. It means that if you're positive to the Word, you're healthy in the realm of putting your faith in the Word, promises of God, you will be preparing yourself for a certain period. Let me see if I can show this to you. You know, we are so confused about older people, we try to retire them and take them off the mainstream of society and provide all these different superficial things for them. But here is the secret to older men and senior citizens. Now, as you begin to get older in age, you see, you have an opportunity to keep on, present tense, taking in the Word of God. And naturally, as you continue to get older, you're getting closer to the time when you're going to depart and be with the Lord. So what you're doing is preparing yourself for that time when you're about to depart. Instead of just, laying down, as it were, and becoming a vegetable. Though your physical health is waning, you see, then what happens is that you keep on putting your faith in the Word of God and growing in grace. And that's preparing you for that period, that may be a short period, a long period, or a prolonged period, as to the time when the Lord's about to take you home. So you can do something for yourself as you're getting older. This is the principle of the guy by the name of Gaius. 1 John 3. There's a description of Gaius there. Paul says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." So Gaius was physically getting older and his health was waning, but Paul was saying that his spiritual health was good. So the principle is, the thing that should be foremost and paramount for the individual as he gets older is the continual use of his faith in the Word of God, because that removes all the irritations in the area of the mind and all the things which, from the standpoint of psychosomatics, overflow into the body and make old age more miserable than it really is. So it's more important here for elderly men to be healthy spiritually than it is for them to be healthy physically. And many older believers may lose their health, but they must not lose their spiritual health, which in this case is tied into the believer's faith in the Word of God. And you'll notice that there are three things which keep up spiritual health. Notice they're mentioned here: sound in faith, sound in love, sound in patience. That's healthy in faith, healthy in love, healthy in patience. These are what we would call the three musketeers for having a healthy old age, spiritually speaking. Faith, of course, refers to the believer's faith in the Word of God, and it's dative of advantage. So as you get older, you should continue to keep your faith in the Word of God, even more so than you did before. Because it's to our advantage, it says, to habitually use faith in the Word and claiming the promises of God. The principle is, of course, that the word faith here refers to the whole realm of the Word. And that's knowing the Word, believing the Word, applying the Word, because it's necessary for spiritual health. The real you isn't your body, see, which is fading, but the real you is your soul. And the soul is eternal, so you can always constantly have health in the soul where you can in the body. Now, the next musketeer that you have here is the word love. And this word is agape. And this, likewise, is dative of advantage. To your advantage as an older man, keep on claiming the promises of God, making application of the Word of God. It's also to your advantage to have word charity is love, which means filling of the Holy Spirit. So it's to the advantage of the believer who is aging to be filled with the Spirit. This is divine love. This is produced by the filling of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Fruit of the Spirit is love. So the filling of the Spirit is absolutely necessary for aged men to have spiritual health. So notice these two phrases here: faith and love. And that's the combination of the Spirit-filled life making application of the Word of God to experience. So the answer for older people is just continue to maintain fellowship with the Lord. Keep on claiming the promises of God. God promised you spiritual, soulish health. Then the next word is patience. And patience is our word hupomeno. Hupo means under, and meno means to remain under in a pressure situation. This is perpetuation of your faith in pressure. And again, it's dative of advantage. There are three things that are to an elderly man's advantage. One, keeping faith in the Word of God. Two, spirit-filled life, love. And the third thing is patience, which is when pressures or trials come, keep on remaining under faith in the Word of God, perpetuated out. So it's to our advantage to have it, and the principle is very obvious. Faith in the Word is a prerequisite for spiritual health. And the filling of the Spirit is a prerequisite for spiritual health, and remaining in fellowship when pressure comes and putting your cares in the Lord's hands is a prerequisite for health to elderly people. Now, the emphasis with older people is not physical, as you can see, is spiritual. You can't do anything about the physical, because as you get older, well, naturally, things begin to wear out. But you can do something about the spiritual. If you have physical health, you cannot survive. If you have spiritual health, you can survive pressures, even the pressure of losing your physical health. But if you don't have spiritual health, then you can't function when the pressure of physical health is on the wane. Now, many of the pressures of old age come from losing physical health. And if you lose physical health in old age, then you had an added additional pressure, pain and problems, or being invalid and semi-invalid. Well, if you are older age and you have spiritual health, even when you lose your physical health, it still doesn't change the picture because the real you is in the soul. Spiritual health means that you have inner happiness, inner peace, inner blessing, which nothing can change. The tent doesn't change that. So there's a general principle here which is addressed to the aged men. Spiritual health is an absolute necessity for the elder Christian. A believer can get along without physical health, but no believer can get along in time without spiritual health. When the body goes, then the tendency, spiritually speaking, is you depend more on the spirit, or you should. And that's the general principle here with older men. Now in verse 3 we have aged women. The aged women likewise. Now, elder is B-R-E-S-B-U-T-I-S. That's feminine gender. B-R-E-S-B-U-T-E-S is masculine. We had this before with the men, now this is feminine. We've had that before as presbyteros, referring to elders, which are the pastors. So there's a difference. You can tell the difference in the words. People want to know. O-S-E-S-I-S. That's how you can tell. Now we have aged women, presbyteros. It's a feminine form of a masculine. Now, the greatest problem of all, we're not going to attempt to answer tonight. I'll avoid, for the sake of propriety, as to state the principle when a woman gets old. I'll let you decide from this passage yourself. In other words, if you're old and it fits, then wear it. They say that a sign of a gentleman is to remember the lady's birthday without remembering her age. Now, you have privacy to decide for yourself. We won't have an invitation. They ask you to come forward if you think that you're an aged woman. Now, there's nothing wrong with a lady becoming old, aged, or elderly. I think that that's possibly when she's at her best. But then again, as you get older, you come more to that position every day. It goes with the territory. Now we have in verse 3, the aged women likewise, that in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now, not false accusers. And this has to do naturally with sins of the tongue. When women begin to lose their physical vigor, apparently the muscle in the tongue gets stronger. All the other muscles get weaker and the tongue gets stronger. And while they may be in so-called declining years, older years,
and they may be losing, as it were, some of the juices of life, it doesn't have an effect on one muscle, because that one muscle always stays strong and powerful, namely the tongue. Now, hearing may go last, but the tongue follows it right along with it. You can always tell because a woman's always constantly saying no, 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 no. I think on their dying bed they'll say no. Now, if you'll please notice here, in the emphasis with the aged women, it's on their behavior. That the aged woman likewise in behavior. Kata steme is the word for behavior. And it denotes a condition or a constitution of anything or deportment or demeanor. This refers, of course, to our overt action, including conduct and demeanor. And she's told that she is to be in demeanor as becoming holiness. Now, this is not the usual word for holiness. Holiness is hagias, it means set apart. And it means in Scripture set apart, point of salvation, and then to times of fellowship. But that's not what the word is here. The word looks something like, let me see if I can find it. H-E-I-R-O-P-R-E-P-E-S. And you can see that's not like the word holiness. And this means reverent. Now, there's no verb here, and it's a noun. And it's the principle of being occupied with Christ. In other words, aged women are to be occupied with the Lord, and not occupied with other people's business. Because if they're occupied with the Lord, then they won't be occupied with other people's business, and then they will not be false accusers. Now watch this. Now we're talking about women in verse 3, aged women. Please stay objective. No one says that you're an old whatever. We're telling what the pitfalls of our old age. We've seen what a man's problems are as he gets older. Now we're talking about a woman. Not false accusers. Now, I want you to see this. May is not, it's a strong Greek negative. What do you think the word for accusers is? Theotolos. That's the word for devil. That doesn't mean if you're an older woman, you've gone to the dogs or the devil. That word is slanderer. One of the titles for Satan is a slanderer. So in this passage, I didn't write this passage. God the Holy Spirit says that when older women get up in age, their tongues become loose. And so they become slanderers. Now this is a noun, not false accusers, meaning a slanderer, a maligner, a gossiper. So I'd have to assume from this passage, from the Holy Spirit, that older women have a predilection for sins of the tongue. And this seems to be the implication. Of course, it isn't confined to any particular sex or age bracket, but this appears to be an aged woman's area of weakness. If you think about it for a while, as a woman gets older, and she loses some of the juices of life, there's a lot of Don Amicia used to call them, grand bell, where they get on the phone, they begin to talk on the back fence and yakking with other women. They have very little activities in their lives. Now here's a great principle here. If you'll relax and learn it. There's a great principle here that comes out for us in verse 2 and 3. As we get older, the areas of weakness change. If your area of weakness is libido, well, there comes a time
When? So I understand. See, I don't know this person. That the libido diminishes, and then you move into another area. I call this the shifting sands of the old sin nature. In other words, the spring has gone out of the guy, and so now he has to shift into another area, and or the woman. When you move into such things as desiring materialistic things, or you desire recognition. So as old age advances, the principle does, so do our areas of weakness change. People often get on a panic situation as they get older. And they say, I'm getting older. And, you know, I just might lose my job. And I might this and I might that. And I might never have another chance at marriage. And all those things seem to run through the mind of people as they get older, and it frightens them. And when they get scared, and all of a sudden they say, how can I take up the slack? And someone will advise you, well, money is the answer. Someone will say, well, you know, I don't have money. Well, the best thing to do is to get down to Miami Beach, you see, and find some wealthy man, a widower, a prominent person, or pursue status symbols. And see, they have all these humanistic gimmicks. But they just destroy their spiritual health. And they are so unnecessary, and of course, so useless. So false accusers means that as a woman gets older, she begins to slander people. Now, how old are you? Who have you slandered lately? See what I mean? That's a characteristic. Now the next one is interesting, not given to much mind. Now to me, this is one of the most interesting things in all of the Bible. Now, one of the surprising things that I found out in my life, that with growing up as a young people, whenever it came to older people, I was trained to address elderly people properly. And I was told to say, yes sir, no sir, or I don't know sir. I had three choices. When it came to a lady, I could say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, or I don't know, ma'am. And that was about it. I had three. When you become a Christian, you're thrown into a local church. And there are sometimes what we would classify elderly women. And an elderly woman to a young person may be someone who's 35. Now, sometimes you find yourself as a young person, and you go to church, and there are not many young people in the church. There you are with all these elderly women, and you look at each other, and you wonder how you and those elderly women are going to get along. But you can, and you will get along beautifully. And you'll discover a lot of wonderful things about elderly women. First thing that hit me, that when I became a believer, and all these old things had passed away, about my attitudes about people and so forth, that there was something of interest to a young person, of a person who is much older than yourself. There's a common ground. There's an elderly group of people that got together down in Miami, Florida, and prayed for me. And they're no longer here with us in this earth. But their prayers are still a part of my life. I'm talking about older people who are generally concerned by the views of the Lord. You can always appreciate the wonderful ministry of prayer from ladies like that. I found out, much to my surprise, that one of those sweet, prayerful, elderly ladies, Christian, had a tough time with the bottle. Now, this sounds rather strange, doesn't it? I can see her in the kitchen right now, hitting the Jack Daniels without a glass. She is the sweetest Christian elderly lady you ever saw. If you ask me today, from my experience as a bartender or a manager of a nightclub, or as a pastor, if you ask me, you haven't. So I'll ask myself the question. What age bracket seems to have a stronger predilection for alcohol? And the answer is older women. They not only make better lovers, as a country western song says, older women are better lovers, but they become better drunks. Now, I'm not sure of all the reasons for it, because there are many frustrations, bitternesses, and problems, and the bottle is a simple way out. They begin by hitting the cooking sherry or the vanilla extract in the kitchen. And it's amazing how many elderly women are in the alcoholic bracket and are heavy drinkers. And it's interesting to me, as far as I have personally been able to observe, more women drink privately, which is one of the first signs of an alcoholic, than any other group of people. Probably preparing themselves for the monster to come home from work. Got to get a couple shots because he's coming through the door. I can hear the car pulling up now. Or the opposite side, not having any monster to come home. You know, young people live it up publicly in front of the 7-Eleven. As a rule, you know. But older women get behind locked doors and hit the bottle and work it over. I would guarantee you, on this passage and from what I've experienced, there are more women today in America, apparently in this women's liberation movement, who are tying it on privately than almost any other thing. And here we have a principle from the Word of God. You read it. It says, elderly women not given to much wine. Now, I didn't write that. So, ladies, watch it. It's a good stimulus in old age. But after 3 or 4 shots, you better give it up. You know, you have reached a certain age. And because of that, you apparently have a predilection for going overboard. I'll say this. If the Olympics ever include some of their activities, people may...